held a regular town council meeting on August 24th, 2020 at 6:10. Roll call, please.
Brad Amos.
Present.
Matt Czarnecki.
Present.
Scott McVoy.
Present.
Terry Langford.
Present.
Randy Mobley.
Here.
Town manager Charlie Smith.
Here.
Town attorney Jacob Elder.
Present.
And clerk treasurer Michelle Miller is present.
Please stand, join, confirm, and follow by the pledge of allegiance.
Father God, we just thank you again for another day. We just thank you for our town. Thank you for all the people here. Lord, we just pray overall that healing for our nation and our state and our people, and Lord, just bring us together and let justice be done, let the right things happen. And Lord, just keep your hands on us for healing on each day for what's going on in our country at this point. Lord, we just want to thank you for our town and thank you for the blessings of the people that work here, and just thank you for a wonderful place to live. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Jesus, to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic of America, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Have a motion to amend or adopt the agenda that is presented.
So moved.
Motion by Matt, have a second.
Second.
Second by Scott, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Approval of minutes submitted by the clerk treasurer. Have a motion to approve those minutes. Minutes also on our website.
I'll make a motion to approve them.
Motion.
I'll second.
Second by Randy, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Same side name, motion approved. Approval of wellness claims submitted by the clerk treasurer. It's also on our website.
So moved.
Motion by Matt, have a second.
I'll second.
Second by Randy, have any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Same side name, motion approved. Approval of wellness dockets submitted by the clerk treasurer. Also on our website.
I'll make a motion to accept.
Motion by Terry, have a second.
Second.
Second by Scott, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Same side name, motion approved. All right, we'll sign all these documents at the end of the meeting. Comments from the public on agenda items. Do we have anybody signed up on any items here for the agenda? We really did have somebody. Thanks, Vince. Mr. Dan Coomer, that is 616 East Newton Street. General question.
Not about to do a good agenda.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right. Okay. All right, we'll move on forward. Have a few ordinances to take care of this evening. First ordinance is the ordinance 2020-OR-02. It's an ordinance amending the 2020 salary ordinance for the town of Sellersburg. This ordinance amending the 2020 ordinance for the town of Sellersburg, whereas pursuant to Indiana Code 36-52-2, this town council of Sellersburg, Indiana, is the town legislative body, and the president of the town council is the town executive, and whereas pursuant to Indiana Code 36-5-2-9, the legislative body may adopt ordinances and resolutions for the performances and functions of the town, whereas this council is charged with the responsibility of adopting a salary ordinance, and whereas this council now desires to amend 2020 salary orders. Now therefore be ordained by this town council of Sellersburg, Indiana, the following salaries, including amendments and respective forms from which to pay said salaries for the calendar year 2020. You see here in Exhibit A, it's attached here to for a comprehensive list of job titles for the town of Sellersburg and specific funds by which to pay each position. Secondly, this ordinance shall be in full force and effective upon its passage and promulgation and evidence by the affirmative signature of the undersigned as the majority of the duly elected and serving members of this council. Charlie has some things that he might want to just direct to you about what's on the the salary ordinance change.
Yes, of the president. So in there, as you'll see, as we've discussed before, we have our building commissioner and planning and zoning director is one and the same. With that, we contract out the planning and zoning portion of his position to an outside group. As far as consulting go, I believe last year was somewhere in the ballpark of $40,000 what we spent on that. This year, I think we've already hit that number because of the amount of stuff we've got going on throughout town. Also, if anyone has ever come into the town of Sellersburg to pull a permit, you'll find it's usually pretty difficult and a time-consuming process and kind of cumbersome because, again, our building commissioner is also the planning and zoning director as well as the permit administrator, any admin, any building inspector in the field. So we start looking at pools, fences, decks, additions, apartment buildings being built, commercial projects being done, everything that goes along with that. It's a very overwhelming situation for any one individual to do. So what this salary ordinance does is basically pulls out the planning and zoning position from the building commissioner and creates a director of planning and zoning within there. You will also see, as we've discussed before, as we continue to departmentalize the town, we've always had shared employees where, for example, the wastewater team members would be paid 80% for the wastewater department, 10% for the water, 10% for the civil. Water team, same thing, 80% for the water, 10% for the wastewater, 10% for the civil. What this also does is isolates all that to where the wastewater teams are being paid 100% out of wastewater utility, the water team is being 100% out of water utility.
You just cleaned it up.
Pretty much.
Okay. Anybody have any questions?
Yeah, I was asking Charlie earlier, this individual come in and has whoever we hire or whatever, you know, who that is, that will sit in on the planning and zoning. And
correct. They would need a staff person for the planning and zoning.
BCA as well.
BCA and planning commission, correct.
All right.
So it would be a dedicated in-house staff person instead of a contract situation.
Any other questions? I'll ask for a motion to approve the first reading of ordinance 2020-OR-020.
So,
motion by Matt, got a second?
Second.
Second by Scott. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Same sign, name. Motion approved. Like I said, therefore, be ordained by the Town Council of Sellersburg, Indiana, upon salaries, including amendments and respective funds from which to pay said salaries for the calendar year 2020. It's Exhibit A that is attached to the comprehensive list of job titles and town sovereign specific funds to which paid for each position. I ask for a motion to approve second reading of this ordinance 2020-OR-020.
So moved.
A motion by Terry, got a second?
I'll second.
Second by Randy, do I have any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Same sign, name. Approved. Our next ordinance is 2020-OR-021. It's an ordinance considering an amendment to the zoning maps of the town of Sellersburg, Indiana. It's a little lengthy here. This ordinance is same as whereas on the 17th day of August 2020, the Planning Commission of the Town of Sellersburg, Indiana, adopted Ordinance 2020-PC-003. It's an ordinance making a recommendation for rezoning certain real property within the corporate limits of the Town of Sellersburg, Indiana, which more specifically certified the Commission's favorable recommendation to rezone 3214 Allentown Road, Sellersburg, Indiana, from B3 to R1, which there is an Exhibit A attached. It says, whereas pursuant to Indiana Code 36-7-4-608, this council may adopt or reject the certification from the commission. Now therefore be ordained by this town council, Salisbury, Indiana, that a recommendation by the commission to rezone 3214 Allentown Road, Salisbury, Indiana, 47172 from B3 to R1 is hereby adopted or rejected. This ordinance shall be in full force and effective on its passage and promulgation as evidenced by the affirmative signature of the undersigned as the majority of duly elected and serving members of this council. Sitting on the planning and zoning board, the Peters came to us to rezone, this is the only piece of property in our residential area that still had a B3 in it. They brought to the planning and zoning board that their mission says to go to home on backside of this property, has a roughly 125 feet of road frontage, there's a long middle building there now that served as a warehouse for something at one time or another, and the community there off Allentown Road, which was 32 by 125 foot long, they have used a little bit of that, part of that building to place their home, it'll be a two-story home that sits on the backside of that and continue to use the rest of it as a garage facilities. He has no intentions of putting in any type of business or, you know, housing anything in there other than just personal property. So, like I said, the planning and zoning board approved their part of it, so now today it's our decision to take it to the next step, so. So if there's anything else to take out, what you have, anything that you'd like to add?
No, not enough, just that this board will make a motion one way or the other to adopt or reject the certification.
Okay, so.
I'll make a motion, Brad, that we move forward with the recommendation of the zoning.
Okay, so I have a motion from Randy to adopt, and Matt has a second. Do we have any other discussion about this? All in favor? Aye, same sign, name. Second reading of ordinance 2020-OR-021, it's an ordinance concerning an amendment to the zoning maps of the town of Salisbury, Indiana. It's now therefore ordained this town council, Salisbury, Indiana, the recommendation by the commission to rezone 3214 Allentown Road, Salisbury, Indiana, 47172 from B3 to R1 is hereby adopted or rejected on the second reading. So I have a motion to adopt. Okay, do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Scott, any other discussion? All in favor? Aye, same sign, name. Motion approved.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, I'm sorry, I didn't even know what was in there, I apologize.
Couldn't tell the mask on.
She's driving through there, Kane, sometimes.
We won't let you down.
All right, I know you won't, I appreciate that very much.
Good day.
Our next ordinance is ordinance 2020-OR-022, it's an ordinance amending the employee handbook for the town of Salisbury, Indiana. It states in here that now therefore be ordained by the town council, Salisbury, Indiana, the following amendments to section 2 benefits the employee handbook, PTO newly hired department heads. In an effort to be as competitive as possible in the hiring of department heads, the town manager and the town council shall have the authority to negotiate front-loaded PTO time not to exceed the maximum amount of days afforded to town employees with a length of service of 20-plus years. Newly hired department heads may not be subject to the current PTO schedule set forth herein if agreed to an in writing upon a fully executive offer letter by the parties. All other terms and conditions of the employee handbook are unaffected by this amendment and shall be in full force and effect as is fully restated herein. This ordinance shall be in full force and effect upon its passage and promulgation evidenced by the affirmative signature of the undersigned and majority of the duly elected and serving members of this council. So I guess at the end of the day, we're finding out that for us to be able to move forward in bringing quality people as department heads, vacation time to come to conversation. So Charlie, if you want to go on and address this, please do so.
With team management, especially your essential employees, you know, it's, anytime you look to move to work for a new business company, the town, for example, you know, the salary is not always the end-all, be-all. It is the entire package of what is being offered, whether it be your health benefits, what your vacation looks like, you know, what the hourly or salary rate is. I have found in several instances here in the last several months that from a compensation standpoint, especially with department heads, specifically with department heads, is trying to establish those things. We've been a little bit out of step on that. Our current, you know, department heads are you know, everybody is important. You know, I rely on my department heads, and you all rely on, you know, the department heads to do a great job. So we want to make sure that we're able to attract and retain the best people possible. Again, you know, to be able to offer, you know, someone where, you know, if you're coming from an existing position, it's like, well, hey, I get 2 weeks of vacation now, I'm going to lose that. You know, there's a value to that individual of being able for us to have the flexibility to match that, especially in a department head scenario. So again, with the handbook being a document that is basically approved by the council as far as the governing documents of our staff, you know, this amendment, this tweak here will allow some flexibility from a department head standpoint to be able to negotiate a little bit on bringing those people to the town as needed.
Charlie, my question would be, do you foresee a point in time where we bring in a desired department head, front load their vacation time, where that person, the department head, would have more time vacation than is current?
I don't think so. I mean, on our hiring phase as we are now, I think everybody's at least a 3-week standard at this point. You know, so again, you know, to be able to come in and say, hey, as a department head, you're going to acquire a day and a half, a month, over for 2 years before you're able to acquire, to get to that standard, to be able to front end load that and bring them in, as they're, again, from a negotiation standpoint, we're saying, hey, you know, I can't meet your salary demands, but, you know, maybe it's 2 weeks up front. Or, just to be able to allow that flexibility, that's hypothetical across the board, obviously, but I mean, one of the last things I don't want to do is to create a dissension among department heads or any staff for that matter. You know, get them up to speed. A lot of people that were bringing in on an hourly rate, you know, most of them, you know, there's, you know, experience isn't there. We're training them. There's a lot of investment from that side of things when we're bringing in department heads, and those people are at a different standard as far as expectation and responsibility and salary for that matter. So I mean, the commitment to the town is very significant. I'm saying it's not less than anybody else, but again, to be able to have that flexibility as needed, you know, to offset where we're unable to compete with, you know, say a larger neighbor municipality, you just don't have that flexibility or that depth on bench. So we need to be able to have that within our structures. We're trying to bring good people on board as needed.
Thank you. Anybody else have any other questions? Okay, all right. With that said, and with Charlie's discussion and his needed support, I ask for a motion to approve the first reading of ordinance 2020-OR-022.
So
motion by Scott, do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Matt. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Same sign, nay. Motion approved for the first reading. Second reading of ordinance 2020-OR-002. Now, therefore, be ordained by the town council of Sullivan, Indiana, the following amendment to section 2, benefits, the employee handbook, PTO, newly hired department heads, all of the terms and conditions of the employee handbook are unaffected by this amendment and shall be in full force and effect as fully restated herein. This ordinance shall be in full force and effect upon its passage. Prolongation is evidenced by the affirmative signatures of the undersigned as majority and duly elected serving members of this council. So do I have a motion for the second reading to approve ordinance 2020-R-022 on the two agenda?
So moved.
Yeah, motion by Terry, do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Scott. Any other discussion on this? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Same sign, nay? All right, motion approved. Go find it, Charlie. All right, ordinance four, ordinance 2020-R-023, an ordinance transferring certain funds. An ordinance transferring certain funds, whereas pursuant to Indiana Code 36-5-2, this town council of Sullivan, Indiana, is the town legislated by the end of president of the town council as the town executive. And whereas pursuant to Indiana Code 36-5-2-9, legislated body may adopt ordinances and resolutions for the performance of functions of the town. And whereas from time to time, this council desires to transfer funds for the needs of the town. Now therefore be ordained by this town council of Sullivan, Indiana, following funds be transferred. The amount of $3,419.13 from streets and sanitation maintenance to streets and sanitation insurance. $3,420 streets and sanitation facilities to streets and sanitation insurance. $6,837.37 streets and sanitation, street equipment to streets and sanitation insurance. And $105 police department miscellaneous supplies to police department insurance. This ordinance shall be in full force and effect upon its passage and prolongation as evidenced by the affirmative signatures of the undersigned as the majority and duly elected and serving members of this council. Thank you, everybody understands probably why this has been asked. It was due to our increase of our town insurance, which isn't based upon anything other than we bought a lot of new equipment and we've insured some things that probably wasn't looked at probably in the past. So have you had anything else you'd like to add, Jake? Okay, so I ask for a motion to approve this first reading.
So.
Motion by Scott, second. By Matt, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Same sign, nay? All right, second reading ordinance number 2020-R-023. It's an ordinance transferring certain funds. As I said, it's came from four different funds to take care of insurance. And this ordinance shall be in full force and effect upon its passage and prolongation as evidenced by the affirmative signatures of the undersigned and majority and duly elected and serving members of this council. So I ask for approval of the second reading of 2020-R-023.
So.
By Matt, do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Scott. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Same sign, nay? Motion approved. Had no unfinished business. We have some new business. It's a sewer tap connection fee. It's a Glenwood subdivision. It's the coming off of 111. They're close to the chicken house, so. This is something that our town attorney, Jake Oder, has been working on with the developers and so Jake always takes.
Thank you, Mr. President. So I briefly spoken with Mr. Schuler of Schuler Homes. There was just some miscommunication with this agreement in our office as to whether or not it was still valid. Ultimately, it was a build-on transfer agreement dated back in 2005, 2006. A group of developers who were building out there had an agreement with the town for wanting to install sanitary sewers at a substantial cost. Built into this agreement, the town of Sellersburg was going to reimburse them a pro-rata share of $200,000. And then anything after that, there was going to be a 10-year term where they could purchase packages at reduced rate of $2,400. In the reduced rate section, all of a sudden there is a new term that isn't defined. Originally, when I spoke with Mr. Schuler, I didn't see an issue with it. And then after rereading it and also talking to some of the other parties who were there in 2005, none of you were here then. It was whether or not it was supposed to start the first time a developer of all five initiated improvement, or was it to run when each developer pulled their permit. I've spoken with the majority of you about this, and we do have email correspondence from Mr. Hines, who I believe was the original developer of Glenwood, or at least that's who's saving your line, it's on the contract. So we do have confirmation from him via email that they were compensated by their pro-rata portion of the $200,000. And so the question is whether or not to extend or whether to start the 10-year term. We're talking to most of you, don't see any reason, you know, not to go ahead and honor the original intent of the agreement, and just go ahead and extend or initiate the term starting on March 21st, 2014. 10 years are only from that date. If you all agree to that, then what I'll end up doing is drafting a one-page amendment contingent on them acknowledging full payment of their pro-rata shares. And then also, if you do so choose to move forward, you know, that'll take a couple days. I would go ahead and request you allow the builder to go over sewer permits or tap fees. I'm going to be $2,400 to go get started, I believe. Mr. Schuler, how many? 20-something?
26 right off the bat.
So he's got 26 that he's ready to go and get going. He's just kind of waiting on us. He's got his plans, everything ready to, you know, start building. So I don't think we're going to hold him up.
That said, except for that, would run through March 21st, 2024, correct?
Correct, yeah.
All right. So like I said, we have a developer here tonight that's here to ask for any questions or anybody else that may have. But like I said, he did say that he has 26 homes that he's ready to move forward with. And on my calculation, is $62,000 plus dollars for the town of Southern Grove right now. So I'm asking for a motion, motion to approve this, what we will call it, the DOT agreement from March 21st, 2014 through March 21st, 2024. Is that how you want to maybe go about
that?
Producing that?
Second.
Take a motion, Scott?
Second.
So we got some discussion. Randy? All in favor? Aye. Same sign, nay. Motion approved.
I will get you a one pager if you have one yet.
I do.
Thank you all.
Thanks a lot. Okay, let's see here. I had Mr. Coomer down here with a little comments from the public, so that's something. Mr. Van, 616 East Utica Street. Dan Coomer?
Yes, sir. Simple question. When the police take somebody down the road and stuff falls off, whose responsibility to clean up the road? Probably directed for the police more or less, but the chief's not here this evening. There was a tire laying in front of my house this morning from a chase last night, and it'll lay there for a month. I called them down, they came and picked it up, but that was still mine. I had to do that myself. It was just lay there.
Generally, what happens in the event of an accident or...
I missed the police chase right from Parksville. The Parksville cop behind me. I mean, I'm not pointing questions. I'm glad they were after whoever they were after.
Generally, what happens in the event of an accident or something falls in the roadway, and that vehicle is towed away, the wrecker service normally generally picks it up. Now, of course, it's nighttime or whatever, someone doesn't see it. That's one thing.
I'm in there, rubber chunks all the damn Newton Street.
In any event, you can always call the town.
Well, that's an idea, but that takes my time to do that. It has nothing to do with the speed chase or nothing. And the town came out to take care of it, no problems right away. That was the number one question. Number two is the police, when they, I'm glad they do what they do, but they come past my house at 80 miles an hour plus. Not always, they don't use the other sirens all the time. Lights sometimes are not. But that's a 20 mile an hour street, not an 80 mile an hour street. And I understand they're policing after somebody, or it's a shooting or something. But what happens when somebody backs out of their driveway, kid runs out in the street? From here, you can hear them open up here, and they hit them tracks down there. Yes. I mean, that's a question for the chief, and he's not here, and I don't want to point fingers and say, I mean, I don't think they're doing nothing wrong. There's been no accidents.
My suggestion would be to have make an appointment with the chief and have a conversation with him if you have the time.
Well, I mean, it's a world pain to ask to get a hold of anybody in this town, which is a 911 system.
That has nothing to do with 911.
Well, it's hard to call, but I'll do it. No, I mean, mean, when you call the number, I'm sure it goes to that 911. I'll do it, I'll make a point with you.
That's what I would suggest, you can already answer your questions fairly.
I mean, that was just, I mean, I know ultimately, he works for you all, works for us, no question. Appreciate it.
Some of the situations here local, in the county, and pretty close to probably residents, so I know this.
I mean, I just.
Been addressing, everybody's doing for the, I completely understand your thoughts.
I mean, if I pull into my driveway, if I get out, I don't have a chance at all to back out my driveway, number one, people don't stop, stop sign down there, which that, no, I don't care about that, that's over there, this place business, but when somebody comes down a street 80 mile an hour, I don't have warning to look over there, and nobody's there, and I'm like, yeah. I'm just saying, it's a safety issue, and I'm pretty sure whatever's going on, not working on it.
Dale, what's the frequency?
This has been quite, the past few weeks, it's been, past couple days, it's been rough. Oh, it's happened three times this week, I mean.
There's an ongoing situation, an address very near to there that has required a significant amount of police resource as of late.
I mean, that's.
That's about all I can say to that.
That's totally fine, I just, the 80 mile an hour, my life ain't worth whatever it is.
But, so what you're telling me is they're not running code or lights or sirens?
I mean, I appreciate the sirens, because I don't want to hear that stuff all hours of the night when they come past my house.
Right, but if somebody's running 80 miles an hour.
I'm telling you, you hear the car open up here, and it sounds like a grass strip, and I'm not that far down the road.
I don't know what the procedure is here, I'm familiar with some of the other departments, or departments, but if you're running, you know, four times the speed limit.
I just appreciate the concern for the residents and the little kids and me and everybody else that.
I don't want anybody.
You can't judge a quarter mile distance, somebody doing that fast.
No, but I mean, you know, they really shouldn't be.
I agree, but it's important what they're doing, I'm not saying it's not important.
I get that, but there must be something fairly important to be running 80 miles an hour in a 20.
But is that legal to be doing that in a 20?
I don't know if it's, I don't know what the law is, but it's not ethical, you know, so.
Man, don't get me wrong, I'm glad they're doing what they're doing, I 100% support the police in this town, I think they're doing a great job.
I think, like I said, I think all we're allowed to say at this moment, there's been a lot of activity, it's very close to your residence, and that's where we're at. I apologize over my.
I mean, it's not a problem.
Understands that our police department is doing an outstanding job of taking care of a couple of situations.
I agree.
And I'm glad that, you know, no one has gotten hurt or lost their lives in any way, shape, or form, so.
That's what we're bringing to the town, thank you.
Okay, any other comments, anybody spoke? Okay, I've got the staff reports, Tom Andy, Scott Smith.
We've been currently working with River Hills on some EDA, and CARES Act funds, potentially running through some options on some of that. Some residents may have experienced a late trash pickup today. We have the two trucks, the white one and the blue one, and we also have the yard waste, which does not have an automatic arm on it. The blue truck went down last week, waiting on parts, it's supposed to be here tomorrow. And then our white tractor went down this morning, the other one went down this morning, so. We had, our wastewater guys, want to thank them for going out and tipping trash, and we were driving the white yard truck through the neighborhood, and several guys driving dragging trash cans up and manually lifting those, to tip those in the truck. So with that, the yard waste, today didn't get collected, so we're gonna run double route tomorrow and get that going, so just kinda FYI on that. Several of you all were, at a meeting with Silver Creek Township, trustee, we're gonna start working with them a little bit more than we probably have in the past. You know, as you know, we, you know, our parks here in town mostly, and Wilkerson Park, you know, we kind of operated on our own schedule stuff, obviously, but however, a lot of people use, Silver Creek Township Park, which is not a town-owned park, and is managed by the township trustee, here as a benefit, as an amenity within the community. Billy over there is gonna be doing some updates and some other things, obviously, the conversation we've been having about our parks and how we're gonna do that here internally. We're gonna start working together a little bit more closely with, the township park to complement each other, not necessarily compete with each other. I think that's gonna benefit, the residents overall in a great way. Also, for those of you all aware, there's a planning organization for transportation called KIPTA that covers Clark and Floyd, as well as several counties in Kentucky, deal with a lot of federal funds, have some funds at their discretion as well. We don't have a representative that represents the town and our interests and our long-term planning, that is long-term planning organization. I have an introductory meeting with them, and we're working to get more engaged with KIPTA to get on their long-range planning process with some of the stuff that we're looking at doing as a town, as well as connectivity regionally overall, with the hope of securing additional funding on some of our projects outside of the town. Also, we're still going through the UDO, which is the Unified Development Ordinance zoning code. We've got another meeting here this Wednesday as we continue to go through that. The comp plan, for the most part, we do have a draft of that. If you go to sellersburg2040.com, it's been shared on social media, as well as posted on our website, I believe, that you can get on there, and there's a little bit of a last chance survey to go through and take any final input, comments, or anything on some of that, some general questions as far as the direction. Starting next month, we will start the process of releasing that, going through the planning commission and the process to bring to the council's conference plan for adoption for the town. That is the comp plan side of it. As far as the Unified Development Ordinance, the UDO, for the zoning codes, again, we're going through that, anticipated probably November as far as completion date on that, and we'll start going through that process and then get all of our zoning codes and everything up to date to coincide with the comprehensive plan and the direction that you all would ultimately approve in the comp plan. So the zoning update would ultimately completely repeal and replace our current zoning code, as well as the current PUD that's up there where the potential town center could be, that general area over there, so starting to bring some update to that. Also, as you know, we did have a water main break, really kind of the first incident since October here in town. It was a very unique situation. Our water line feeds from our water plant on Holman's Lake in Jeffersonville, and ultimately from our well fields, ultimately by the river, feeds up, goes to our plant on Holman's Lake, gets treated, and then gets pumped through Jeffersonville under 265 and up 31. We started getting some phone calls as far as water pressure and so on and so forth, and the lack of water. Typically, when a water main breaks, it's pretty noticeable where it is, because under a street or somebody's yard or in an intersection. This was in an area that runs just north of 265 and then ultimately connects kind of by Apex Trailer. It's about, I don't know, 10 acres worth of heavily wooded area. So again, as we started tracking down everything and backtracking where everything was and our water mains are, not finding anything, we ultimately were able to, through process of elimination, reasonably assume that it had to be within this vicinity. And there was a couple of us, myself and another gentleman, out. So we finally did identify that. We tried our best to communicate as well as possible via social media, the Everbridge program, the desk text and email notification systems, our website, press release as well. Once we identified the issue and was able to assess it, we were out there all night. Crews were there and did emergency repair on site, and we were ultimately able to get the water restored about 4 a.m. Monday morning. Was it Monday morning? Yeah. Sunday night, Monday morning. So, again, identify, communicate, attack it, wrap it up, get it back out again, and then communicate there. It ultimately did result in a 48-hour boil of water. Again, we were able to communicate with some neighboring water utility, was able to help us backfeed the system and so on and so forth. So there's some things going on there in the background, Silver Creek Water, and tying our systems together to help us on situations like that. So again, the failure in the break was not just an old line or something of that nature. It was actually where they did the 265 project. When 265 was constructed, there was a fitting that was put on there to allow for move the water line around and to redirect it as that construction progressed, and that portion of it failed. So it wasn't actually the pipe. It was something that had happened years ago, and it just failed from that point. So again, able to attack pretty well. I feel overall, while unfortunately there was a deep lot of water, there was also a little water, I feel like we are leaps and bounds ahead of where we used to be as a water utility municipality to address and assess these things. So repairs are ongoing in other parts of town. We are going to working through a scheduled area of town here near St. Paul and Moss Avenue that we're working through for some valve replacements. We'll be communicating with residents and stuff of that nature to make sure we get plenty of notice to anyone affected as we start going through, because again, we are actively working on addressing our water system. There's going to be times where we have scheduled outages and things like that, but again, from a communication standpoint, I feel like we're doing everything we possibly can to let people know what we're doing as we're doing it. So Josh Hillman and I, Josh is going to start, has started holding office hours here at Town Hall with myself and anyone else who can need him on Mondays, as well as our attorney, Jake Elder, is holding office hours here as well. So I'm trying to turn this Town Hall more into a true admin building. Again, we don't have, from an administrative standpoint, most of our people are contracted. Bringing them in-house where we're all in the same building allows us to, I think, be more effective and efficient in addressing our needs and assessments. So we had some meetings today, so Josh has a list of things we're going to go through, but ultimately working on some needs assessments. I know sidewalks has always been a hot topic of conversation. We're working through that. We're working on some stormwater stuff. We'll be notifying through signage at Andrews and Dillondale for a stormwater input session here in September. So we got some things going. Does anybody have any questions for me?
Officer, I just like to say I greatly appreciate you. You did it very well and said it very well. You know, we're moving forward with the process of the way we're doing things. So I thank everyone that was involved in that water main break and all the other things we've got going on. And I appreciate Josh and Jake. Well, you guys come in and makes it a lot more easier. And like I said, I encourage every one of y'all, as far as a council member, to come in. If you got some questions, you know, you want a face-to-face conversation, please. So on Mondays and Wednesdays. So, all right. Thank you for that. Anybody else? Josh, Hillman, JD Hill.
Charlie took most of the thunder, but I'll add just a little bit of value to it here. As Brad referenced, Charlie referenced the water main break that took you guys down Sunday night last week. I would have guessed probably a year ago that would have taken us down for days. This time they got it done, found it in the dark, and got it repaired in less than 8 hours. So major difference just in overall team operation, but they did a great job, and they started the week off the same way they finished it, which was working on a water leak, but the team was doing a great task. Water and sewer, just for that topic, we are going to put out for quotes a general on-call services agreement, so that Charlie and Bill and Lori all have at their availability an on-call contractor that can do the repairs for them. So if they need to put in a valve, you'll have a unit price for it. If you need to replace 100 feet of 12-inch sewer, you're going to have a unit price for it. Understanding that every situation ends up being a little bit different, but we're going to have a contractor that's selected. We're going to work off a first, second, and third priority in ranking based on the value that comes back. That way, if contractor number one's not available, contractor two gets selected, and if two's not, then we'll move on to three. Just understanding that not everybody's going to be available at midnight when you have a water main break.
So these are for emergency situations?
Emergency services or something that may be outside of the realm that the town can handle. We'll have a cap on it in terms of an overall contract not to exceed. And we're going to solicit time and material rates in the event we need to go that route when unit prices don't work. So we did discuss that today, and that's going to go out for quotes here in the next couple of weeks so that you all have that as your availability. Water, so wastewater, we reviewed the Voice of God recording plans for, I think, the third time here over the last week. We supported Lori out at the airport on a number of things that went on. We are currently referencing the water main line. We're going to go and pull easement records, drawings, and everything, so that the water main that cut through the woods there can be cleared and stayed with the easement, so we all can maintain that easement. CCG, we got the general understanding that CCG's second round isn't going to happen this year. There's a slim chance it might, but we get the impression it's not. So Charlie and I reviewed doing a small paving restoration on Old State Road 60 in an area that's in really bad shape. And we're not going to address the concrete, but we're going to address the asphalt that looks like it's been patched about 40 times. So we're going to fix that piece. Sidewalks, we're talking about sidewalks, a comprehensive plan for repair and ADA accessibility, as well as connectivity for areas that aren't connected. We're also talking about implementing that into a GIS system. And Hillendale Drainage Meeting, September the 17th. We're going to try to do that out on site to give the residents the opportunity to come and talk about any drainage issues as a part of where we went out and collected that infrastructure a couple, maybe a month and a half ago. Anything else I could address?
Do you have anything? Mayor Scott?
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Our town attorney, Jake Oden.
Nothing at this time.
Thank you. All right. Comments from our council? Randall Mullen.
Yeah, I just have a couple of things. I've been spending quite a bit of time with Charlie on the phone the last couple of weeks, and he's been very professional. I'd like to thank him for his nature of being responsive, being very easy to communicate with, and keeping us all informed. Never do I call him that I don't get a call back, and I really just think that he's done a great job with problem solving and just keeping us all informed. I'd like to thank the police department. We had some pit bulldogs running in our neighborhood last week. They were out there for about a day and a half, and they finally got them without killing the dogs, got them caught and dispatched that in a timely fashion. But overall, I just think our town's moving forward. I hear good feedback, and I'm available for problems, and I just think we've got a good team, and I really think we haven't had a lot of dissenting votes. We're all on the same page, and as Brad says, and I tell him, Team Sellersburg's moving forward, and I'm just glad that we have a good, responsible body right now. That's all.
All right, thank you very much, Randy. Terry?
I just want to speak about the water main leak the last Sunday night. I know my area was probably one of the first areas to start showing low pressure and whatnot, where we're located. It was very nice to be able to get up and take a shower the next morning, even though you went to bed without electric, without water, you had to wait on you in the morning. And I know a lot of people that work for our town went over and above to get that situation remedied in a timely manner.
A couple of days, we had some vehicle break-ins in my district. I want to thank the police department, the tech division, the new officers that you, this council has approved, worked diligently to bring those suspects to justice, along with Floyd County. So they work well together. Again, I encourage everyone to secure your property. That being said, we only have about 1,200 members in town that are linked with the Everbridge system. And when we talk about mass notifications, boil water advisories, town communications, in the event of emergency, and for those who don't have Facebook, of course I peruse that stuff, and notice a lot of comments from people that, you know, they don't have Facebook, they don't see it. And, I mean, that you can't get any easier than Everbridge. I've been saying it for the last 6 meetings at least. Please sign up for that. You never know when we're going to need it. It's not just for weather alerts, it's for other communications from police or the town. That would be very helpful for you and your family if you ever need it. Hopefully we don't. I know that the abbreviated version of the Little League All-Stars was held down in New Orleans. A bunch of Silver Creek teams did very, very well. A couple winning championships. Being some of our neighboring communities. So kudos to those kids as well for
represent the town. Most of those are Sully Bird kids come from this area, so job well done.
You told the students you did the job well done.
No.
Yeah, like Scott said, that Everbridge thing, I encourage everybody to get that. It's the easiest thing, a little app right on your phone, those wonders. Matt?
No, I'm gonna make the same thing.
I know, you're always just saying, hey, I'm gonna let you go first. How about that? We'll reverse this thing. Randy jumps on everything and he just takes off, still goes higher.
Same thing with Everbridge. I mean, you know, everything from, you know, when we had the water main break to, you know, severe thunderstorm warnings and so on and so forth. It is a great, great tool. It'll help you as taxpayers to be well informed of what's going on in the community. Basically, my point tonight is I can't thank Charlie, our town employees, our contractors that helped with the water main break. I agree with what Josh said. If this would have happened last year, it's no offense to anybody, but we've made leaps and bounds, improvement to our staffing, and that has helped us immensely turn around and fix issues. It would have taken us more than likely a couple of days to get accomplished what we got done in an 8-hour span, 8 to 9 hours. So I can't thank everybody for what they did. I mean, I kind of went out and saw them working the very next day, late into the night again, working on some water main issues. So, I mean, these employees are really putting their blood, sweat, and tears into this community, and it's been great, great, great things. So, that's all I got.
You know, as always, you know, you're always at the end, but once again, a lot of people don't understand the direction that we are and have moved forward in the last, in the first 8 months of our tenure here, and these last 8 months have been very successful, very challenging in very many ways, but at the end of the day, it just goes to show you what teamwork, what concepts, you know, meetings. I mean, you know, Charlie has a meeting every week, you know, with the staff. Everybody's on board working together. We have employees that are learning. And that's just the greatest concept that we have to be able to give. I'm very grateful that we have that direction moving forward. Terry, you said, no, you got to take a shower. I got a few phone calls, people was halfway through a shower. So, he'll text me, hey, you want to have my water? So, but, you know, once again, you know, I was glad to hear from Charlie. I mean, I was texting Bill, and Bill wouldn't text me back, and Charlie called me up and sit there and said that, you know, hey, they found where we're at, and he said he wouldn't believe where it was at. And just thank goodness that, you know, our contractor on call was able to take care of the situation for us and take care of it in a fashionable manner. Luckily, it wasn't too deep into the ground as well as I think was discovered. But you know, at the end of the day, I mean, everyone is doing their part to continue to make the town of Sullenberg a better place and a more enjoyable place to live. So, you know. As Scott said, you know, we have a lot of the young kids that are out and enjoying the sports, so they're doing it and they're practicing, you know, with the proper guidance from our parents and everyone out there. You know, our students are trying to get into the schools. I was talking to a teacher yesterday, and they discussed about, you know, 260 kids, four classes and a math class. So, you know, my hats are off to these teachers that are able to go to class and teach these kids and get them to understand you know, the safety matters for we'll be able to continue to enjoy the sports that everyone loves and enjoys seeing. So at the end of the day, I mean, it's just a joy to see a lot of great things taking place. So once again, thank you for everybody for your continued support and Team Sellersburg. So, Michelle, do you have anything to say?
I have one thing to add.
Sure, I'm sorry.
I had someone approach me last Sunday, lives outside of our town, who applauded us on our transparency and sharing things on Facebook and communicating with the residents.
And I believe we're setting an example. I really mean that. I mean, this is somebody from out of town, I don't know him that well, but I know him fairly well, who came up to me at a function, and we're friends on Facebook, and he actually applauded us. I thought that was...
That's super to hear.
I honestly believe we're setting an example, and the other communities around us are going to have to join in when they see what we're doing. I mean, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's all right. What level are we at on the COVID?
Same.
Level two?
Yes.
Three.
Level three?
I think it's three, let me double check.
So face mask in town hall. We still run two separate shifts in our billing office to keep them separated in the event something were to... You know, somebody tests positive or something. I sent an email to Jake today. We are, the governor's executive order did allow for reinstatement of shut off of utility on August 14th. What I'm going to do is phase in, we're going to send a letter to anyone who is more than 60 days past due now, this week, ideally it's within the next week or so, they'll receive a letter letting you know, hey, you're past due. And starting October 16th, we're going to fully reinstate shutoffs. So if you've not paid your trash bill, sewer bill, or water bill, you know, we're going to be going back to pre-COVID standards as far as that goes. We've got a significant amount of money outstanding at this point. You know, so I think it's kind of where that lands. But, you know, as far as town operations go, you know, our biggest concern in house is, you know, setting appointment here internally. Face mask when you're in the building, and our billing office is still running two shifts. We're half of them are working home half a day, and they change out. We're taking all the precautions we can.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anything else, Michelle?
No.
I one other thing I forgot. How about that sewer group, Charlestown football game? They got this past weekend, 40-6. So, I mean, that was a great thing. And I know the kids were probably excited to play, try to maybe get to play on that new turf up there at Charlestown, but they didn't get to. So I appreciate the Charlestown folks coming down there to celebrate. All I can remember back as a kid, man, the fire trucks used to go back and forth for all the basketball games and stuff like that. So I wish they maybe consider doing that one day again for the football. So that was a great win. So keep up the great work, coach, on baseball, the team, and keep them working tough and hard. So. All right, with that said, I'll ask for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion by Matt, you got a second?
Second.
Second by Scott. Anything, anybody else? All in favor?
Aye.
Same time, Nate. Turn to 7:08.
Take it easy, Ms. Michelle.
Thank you. You do the same, Vince.
Bye, Michelle.